All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 4. The book of Acts, chapter 4. And I want to read a few verses to you this evening, and I hope they'll be a blessing to you and the message that follows. But Acts, chapter 4. All right, if you look at verse 1, you will see that that as they spake unto the people and the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day. In other words, they threw them in jail. All right, you understand that, right? They threw them in jail. And it says, and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. So it was in the evening, and they didn't want to fool with them, so they just threw them in jail, and everybody went home. Verse 4, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's a revival meeting, if you ask me. All right, verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them, Peter and John, when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Now, what they did is in chapter 3, when they raised up that lame man that was sitting begging alms at the gate, beautiful. At the beautiful gate, the golden gate, if you will. And that's the gate that is closed right now. It's closed. And when the Muslims took it over back a couple hundred years ago, they closed that gate. And then just outside that gate, they have put in a cemetery. And the reason that they did that is because they can read the Bible too. And they know that the Bible says that a holy man, a priest, cannot touch a grave. And of course, Jesus is coming back. He's a holy man. And so they don't want him to go through that gate because the Bible says he's supposed to go through that gate. And so they don't want him going through that gate. And so they closed it off and put a cemetery out there to keep him from following what the Bible says he's going to do. And you say, well, Pastor, what about that? What do you mean, what about it? The Bible says he's going to do it. And so he can take the same finger that he created the Grand Canyon with, and he can just throw all those graves down over in the Valley of Hinnom if he wants to. All right, so don't let that bother you. That's not an issue. Where were we? Verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. All right, now look at the next verse. In the next verse, we start a new paragraph. You see that little paragraph sign right there? That's what that is. That's a paragraph sign. And so this is a new paragraph. And he says, now when they saw, so they being the Sanhedrin, they being Caiaphas and Annas and all the rest of them, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I want to speak to you from that 13th verse tonight, and I'm going to entitle the message this evening, What the People Saw in the Apostles. What the people saw in the apostles. Let's pray together and then the message. Now, our Father, we ask for your richest blessings upon us as we look at this 13th verse tonight. And I pray that you will use the message to encourage our hearts this evening. I pray, Father, for the Word of God to make a difference. I cannot make a difference in someone's heart, but Father, your word can, and especially if your word is backed by the unction and power of the Holy Spirit of God. So, Lord, I ask you to use the message to help each one of us to have the same desire in our hearts to be what Peter and John were before the Sanhedrin on this day. So, Father, bless us tonight. And help us to understand clearly what we're about to hear. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. In those early days of the New Testament church, there were some amazing things that happened that Luke records for our benefit and for our blessing. We learn in the first part of this chapter that Peter and John were doing what the Lord Jesus told them to do just before he ascended back to heaven. You might remember, he told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so that's what they were intending to do. They were not respecters of person. They just simply started preaching and proclaiming the word of God, and they had no qualms about preaching and sharing the gospel with any one person. And so when they preached the gospel, naturally, if you're going to preach the gospel, you're going to preach on every aspect of the gospel. And so they preached on the death and upon the burial and upon the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 that is the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we here at Church of the Open Door train you to win people to the Lord, when you take the Soul Winners Club here, we teach you to use the resurrection. We give you some verses in the Bible that speak of the fact that Paul said you have to believe that God hath raised him from the dead. All right, that is crucial. That is a very vital part of the gospel. Now, in the crowd, listening to their preaching was the Sanhedrin. And that Sanhedrin was the ruling body of Judaism at that in Christ's day. And so they were sitting there listening to the message that Peter and John were preaching. And there was one group within that Sanhedrin that were called the Sadducees. The Sadducees. And these liberal Jews did not believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in any resurrection. Now, I don't know where you have hope in heaven or in eternity if you do not believe in a resurrection. It just does not make sense to me. If we die and then we're placed in the ground and there's no resurrection from the dead, then my. What hope do we have? So, but that's what they believe. They did not believe that anyone was going to get or would get a resurrection by God. So when they heard Peter and John preaching about the resurrection, well, they went into a little fit of rage, and they demanded the two preachers be arrested and thrown into jail. Now, the main goal here was to stop them from preaching the gospel. That's what it was all about. Make no mistake, that's what it was all about. The Sanhedrin was the religious ruling council of the Jews, and the Romans allowed it to exist to kind of keep the Jews satisfied. And so they allowed the Sanhedrin to operate, and it was made up of all these different little groups within Judaism. There, of course, was the priest, and some of them were scribes, and some of them were Pharisees, and some of them were Sadducees, and some were Herodians. And so all of these people are gathered, and that's the Sanhedrin. And the thing that angered the most was when the disciples mentioned the resurrection. And we learned that in verse 2. All right, they preached the resurrection. And when they did, that angered the Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees were the liberals of their day. Folks, every age has had them. Every age. They come along with the sinful nature of man. Make no mistake about it. That's where that thought, that line of thinking comes from. And they were the liberals of their day. These people did not believe in the resurrection, and they did not believe in angels, even though both doctrines are covered in the Old Testament. The Old Testament speaks about the angels of God many times. And then the Old Testament scriptures speak about the resurrection many times. And yet, they refused to believe it. So when Peter and John came preaching at the temple about these matters, well, it just threw them into a tizzy. And like liberals today, the only thing they wanted to do was shut down their message. They just didn't want anybody to hear what they had to say. Silence the truth, just like liberals do today. Whenever they hear something or they hear someone saying something that they do not agree with, in they come and want to shut it down. I am so thankful that our founding fathers had the foresight and the vision to put the First Amendment to the Constitution, which says that you and I have freedom of speech. Amen. Amen. Thank God for that. Those men knew exactly what they were doing. So evidently, they had some liberals back in the early 1700s when they were coming over here and started to organize and put together our Constitution. So I guess you can see that the cancel culture that is alive and well today was alive and well back 2,000 years ago. Now, one thing is certain, folks, liberalism never changes. And it is today exactly what it was 2,000 years ago. Now, in verse 5 down to verse 12, Peter and John are brought before the Sanhedrin the next morning to face the accusations and the charges against them. It seems rather odd that they would be able to charge someone for healing a lame man. Now, wouldn't you think? I mean, what's the harm in that? I don't know about you, but if I was standing there and I saw Peter and John grab that lame man who had been lame all his life, and everybody knew him. He sat in the same spot every day begging as people went through the Golden Gate. And there he sits, and then all of a sudden, Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. Rise up and walk." And he took him by the hand and lifted the man up. And he didn't have to go through physical therapy. Isn't that awesome? I mean, he stood up and he was bouncing around all over. It looked like Tigger, you know, just bouncing all over the place. And his knees weren't sore. His ankles weren't locked up. I mean, man, if I was standing there and I witnessed that, I believe if I had a mother who was lame in her feet, or if I had a daddy who was lame in his feet, I believe that I would have went over to Peter and John and said, "Guys, can you come over to my house for a little while? I promise you, we'll feed you a good meal and take care of you." All right? But no, they wanted them silenced. Why? Well, because they didn't like the message that they were preaching. So what I want you to notice here is that these Sadducees said to them in verse 7, "How do you criticize, how do you charge a man for healing another man?" I mean, you just can't do that. There's no system of government where that would be a problem. So what did they do? Well, look at verse 7 down at the bottom of the verse. It says that they asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" Where did you get the authority to do this? You see, that was their issue. And I want you to notice in verse 8, all the way down to verse 12, that neither man cowered. Neither man, neither Peter or John, cowered for even a second. As a matter of fact, in verse 10, we read that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, which this very Sanhedrin had voted to crucify on Calvary's cross. And then Peter adds, "But whom God raised from the dead." Now, I bet you they jumped stiff-legged right there. I mean, they were upset the evening before because they were preaching the resurrection. And so now here they are before the Sanhedrin, and they ask them, "By what name, by what authority did you do this? Why did you do this? And so Peter says in verse 10, well, be it known unto you all. In other words, look, that's a real nice way of saying that Peter stuck his finger out at them and shook it at them and said, boys, listen up. Don't you miss this. I'm about to inform you. Let me have your attention. And then he said to them, look at verse 10. He said that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, and then here's the dreaded resurrection again, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Wow. That took some intestinal fortitude right there. That took some courage, folks. And so Peter very bluntly just comes right out and tells them that the man that they crucified, but who did not stay dead, God raised him from the dead. That's the man that gave us this authority. And no doubt that caused these fellows to just blow a gasket. I mean, I can just imagine that they just went into a rage. And now, here's what I want you to see tonight. The conduct of Peter and John impressed the Sanhedrin. Probably not all of them, but the conduct of Peter and John impressed them. So much so that in verse 13, they made some observations about Peter and John. And I want us to look at their observations. Folks, what Peter and John displayed here is exactly what you and I need to display to the world today. What they saw in Peter and John is what the world needs to see in us. First, they noticed the courage of Peter and John. They observed the courage of Peter and John. We are told in the first phrase of this 13th verse that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. When they saw the boldness, Peter and John, folks, did not back down. They did not hang their head, and they did not cower, but they showed amazing courage before that Sanhedrin. And may I remind you again, it was that Sanhedrin that just a couple of weeks earlier had crucified the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. And so now here is Peter and John standing before this same bunch, the exact same bunch. And they said, who gave you the authority to do this? And man, they did not even blink. They stood for the Lord and told them exactly the way it was. Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but God hath raised from the dead. Oh, I'm telling you, folks, they took a bold stand for the Lord. That bunch of religionists were not going to scare them, nor would they let them intimidate them. No, sir. We certainly have it so much easier today when it comes to this matter of standing for the Lord. You see, in America, there are millions who believe the exact same way that we believe. They're born again, solid Christian people everywhere in this country, still. But realize, folks, that we certainly have it so much easier than when it comes to this matter of standing for the Lord than they had it 2,000 years ago. I mean, you know, should we be called on the carpet for our faith? We certainly would have many who would come to our side and they would stand with us and help us deal with those who would seek to silence our message. Through the centuries, untold millions of believers in Christ through the centuries have had to go before courts and before judges and before executioners and before senates and rulers and tyrants to answer for the crime of being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Martyrs' blood has filled the streets of so many cities across this world. Men and women have been given the ultimatum. You either denounce Christ or you die. Denounce Christ or you die. John Bunyan was in prison. They threw him in prison for preaching the gospel in New England. Think about it. In prison. And they got his little boy to go in and talk to him. And that little boy, they told that little boy, if you go in there and tell your daddy, if he'll quit preaching, we'll let him go. If he'll just quit preaching, we'll let him go. And that little boy went in to where his daddy was, barely recognized his own father, and cried and said, "Daddy, they said, if you will stop preaching, they will let you go." And Bunyan said, "Son, I'm sorry, but I cannot stop preaching my Savior." Thank God for boldness. Thank God for people who will stand. What would you do, folks? What would you do if you were told to denounce the Lord Jesus Christ? What would you do if some public official said to you, "Denounce Christ or you will never see your family again"? Would you stand or would you cower? Thank God Peter and John did not and were not intimidated by these people who tried to take away their convictions. Folks, I'm telling you, it takes endurance. It takes fortitude. It takes conviction in order to stand up for God and to speak plainly on God's behalf. And intimidation, folks, is a major weapon that the devil has used throughout the centuries and in an effort to silence the people of God. And that is simply the way an evil heart works against the truth. An evil heart does not have the facts. They do not have the facts on their side, so they have to resort to intimidation. But the good news was that Peter and John would not be intimidated. They stood their ground for the Lord Jesus, and the Sanhedrin could not help but see just how bold and courageous these two men were. And that's why they said that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, it impressed them. And folks, our boldness for Christ ought to impress others as well. Man, don't ever cower. Don't ever back down. Don't ever pass up the opportunity to share your faith with someone who needs the Lord. You see, in our world today, people think courage is driving a car at 200 miles an hour around a track. That's not courage. That's ignorance. No, I'd like to do that myself. But that's not courage. That's not courage. They think that courage is playing on a football team after the doctor has you on concussion protocol. No, that's not courage. That's stupidity. The things that the world thinks today are courageous, they're really foolishness. But true courage, real courage, is standing up and being loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ when others oppose him. Listen, church, it just may be coming quicker than any of us realize, but the simple truth of the matter is we are only one election day away from tyranny in this country. Only one day away. So we are only one election day away from having to decide whose team we're going to be on. So we better choose wisely. Are you on the world's side or are you on God's side? Second thing I want you to see. They, secondly, observed the commonness. They noticed, first of all, the courage, but now, secondly, I want you to see they observed the commonness of Peter and John. Notice that there is a statement in the middle of verse 13 which says that these men perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Unlearned and ignorant. Now, exactly what does that statement mean? What's it mean? Well, what is being said here about Peter and John from this phrase? Did the Sanhedrin members think that Peter and John were just a bunch of illiterate dummies? No, not at all. That's not what they're saying at all. What these religious snobs were saying is that watching them and listening to them, it is obvious to them that Peter and John had not gone to any of the religious schools of any of these big shots who were on the Sanhedrin. You see, just like today, you go over in Israel today and there are rabbis over there that are ranked by popularity. They're ranked by birth. They are ranked by education. And just as it is today, it was the same way back then. And what you did was you chose a rabbi and you studied under that rabbi. You went to his classes and you learned his philosophy on the world and on Judaism. And so what they're saying here is that you people, you apostles, Peter and John, you did not go to anybody's school. You see, the men who made up that Sanhedrin, they all had students. They all trained students. And in today, and folks, our world is no different today. Now, you know this is true. You have seen this with your own eyes if you've been watching. But in our world today, in the world of fundamentalism today, there are those who judge others based on where they went to college. They seriously do. They judge others by where they went to college. And then in their minds, that person is somewhat of a second rate on the fundamentalist scale, if you will. All right, nobody's message is taken into consideration. Nobody's position on separation is taken into position. We have dumbed down Christianity today to the point where we make judgments about someone based on where they went to college. Man, that is just flat wrong. No matter how you slice it, that is just wrong. And so they were not calling them ignorant people. They were saying, you guys don't have the same spiritual mindset and way of thinking that we have. You're just commoners. You just think like common people. And so you don't have the same way of thinking that we have. Your thinking is second rate. And so Peter and John had demonstrated considerable skill and knowledge in handling themselves before the group. They weren't afraid. They stood there boldly. Their courage was exemplary. I mean, they stood there without being afraid, and they argued their case, and they gave a clear presentation. They showed everybody that they were skilled, very intelligent, and indeed capable of defending themselves. As a matter of fact, Luke tells us that the Sanhedrin marveled at their abilities. They marveled at them. So here were two ordinary men, Peter and John. Here were two ordinary people, just like you and just like me. And these men stood and were counted for the Lord. They looked at them and they said, wow, these guys they're just common people. And yet, look at their boldness. Look at their stand for what they believe in. And then thirdly, I want you to see that the Sanhedrin observed the companionship of Peter and John. Look, please, now at the last part of this 13th verse. And what's it say? It says, and they took knowledge of them, Peter and John's the them, that they, Peter and John, had been with who? Jesus. Right there's their companionship. Right there is their companionship. Folks, I think there is a clear and obvious application to this statement. If you have spent time with the Lord Jesus, then people are going to notice it. It's going to show in your life. If you spend time with Jesus, people are going to see it. They're going to notice it. It's just that clear. I mean, it'll show in your speech. It will show in your stand. And it will show in your steps. People will know when you spend time with the Lord. It is just going to show itself in your life. And others will be able to see that there is something different about you. We have a lot of our kids working over at Weiss this summer. A lot of our kids were over there. If you went over there, you saw some of the young people that are from Carroll Christian Schools and Church of the Open Door. And I was over there back in the summer, and there's this one gal in there. I think she runs the place. I'm not sure, but she looks like she runs the place, and she acts like she runs the place. And so anyway, I had stopped and was carrying on a conversation with one of our kids, and then another one walked by, and they stopped and joined in, and then the boss came by. And so I didn't want to get him in trouble, so I said, guys, I got to go. And I just took off and walked, and I went out the door, and that boss came out the door with me. And so she was going out to do something. I don't know what she was going to do, but when we got through the second door, I turned around, and I said, you have an a lot of our kids working for you this summer? And she said, yeah, we do. She said, they're all good workers. We love having them here. They are polite. They are disciplined. They don't sass. They don't give you an attitude. And I said, well, praise the Lord for that. I mean, folks, I'm telling you, if you hang around with the Lord, you spend 12 years sitting in a Bible class, it's a little bit's going to rub off on you. If you spend 16, 17 years in church, it's going to rub off on you. And that's the way it ought to be. People ought to look at you and be able to say there's something different about you. And they ought to take notice that you have been with Jesus. You know, you don't have to carry around a huge family Bible everywhere you go. You don't have to carry it around in a wheelbarrow. Or you don't have to hang a cross around your neck. Or you don't have to wear a huge Jesus t-shirt to get people to recognize and understand that you are one of God's people. No, no, no. If you hang around with the Lord, your manner of life is going to reveal it. It will reveal it. I think I told you all this story, but when I had been saved for 2 years when I went to college. 2 years. And I was not exactly what you would call sanctified. All right? Matter of fact, it wasn't even close. And but I went to school, and I got down there early to register. That freshman had to be there a couple days before everybody else got there. And so I got down there and then registered quickly. Just registered, you know, immediately. And so I had like 4 or 5 days to just hang out, just wait for everybody else to get there and for everybody else to register. And so I would go over to the gym every morning, and then every afternoon, and then every evening. I would swim in the evenings, but in the morning and afternoon, we played basketball. So we would choose up, pick teams, and we would play 5-on-5, full court, and then one team would rest, and then we would play, and whoever lost sat out, and the other team would come on. And so it was a couple of days had gone by, and so by that time you get to know, the other guys that are playing, and there was this one guy, and he did not like to get showed up. He did not like to get beaten, not at all. And he was the point guard for his team, and I was the point guard for our team. And so when he was dribbling the ball down, I noticed a pattern in the way he was left-handed, and I noticed the pattern in the way that he threw the ball to one of the guys on the outside. I had picked it up the day before, but we didn't play them until that morning. And so I stood there, and he dribbled the ball down, and when he made his move, I made mine, and I intercepted that ball. He would step and throw it with his left hand, bounce pass to that guy on the outside. And so I intercepted it. Well, when I intercepted it, I just took off down the court and made the layup, and then they brought it back out again. Well, he did the same thing, and I did the same thing. And so I got it again, took it down, and laid it up and put it in. Then the next time, he faked that way and threw it this way. Well, I didn't fall for the fake. And so when he threw it, bang, right in my hands, down, and made the layup. Well, he's mad now. All right? He's mad. He wasn't very sanctified either. And so he's dribbling the ball back down the court, glaring at me as he went. And while he was trying to figure out what to do, he got a little bit too close, and I just slapped at the ball, and lo and behold, hit it right between his legs, went around him, grabbed that ball, he turned, and as I was going up in the air to lay the ball in the hoop, he undercut me. And I ended up landing on my back with the ball, and it knocked the air out of me. I mean, you ever just be laying there dying, you know, and not breathing, you're dying. But I'm laying there with a ball in my arms. And when he walked by me, he looked down and smirked. Oh, it went all over me. And I got my breath there real quick. And I said, hey, and he turned around and I hit him with the ball in the face. Broke his nose, blacked both. I got 25 demerits before school ever started. Before we ever went to class, one time, 25 demerits. And probably should have been more than that. Blood was pouring out his nose. Now, folks, listen. I would never do something like that today. There is no way I would do something like that today. You see, you got to grow. You've got to grow. How do you do that? You hang around with Jesus. That's how you do it. You stay in your Bible. You stay in church. If you hang around the Lord Jesus, your manner of life will reveal it. Haven't you noticed when you hang around someone day after day after day, you start to emulate them in some way? And it's usually not a good thing that you emulate. It's a quirk that you emulate. Why is that? But that's just the way we are. Maybe it's a speech thing that you imitate, or maybe it's a tick that they have, or some inflection in the way they say things. But if you hang around someone long enough, you're going to find yourself acting like them. And that's why we need to hang around with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you hang around with the Lord in this book and in the house of God, you're going to find yourself acting like Him. All these outward and external displays will not convince anybody. No, it's got to come from here. You see these bumper stickers, honk if you love Jesus? Oh, baloney. How about tithe if you love Jesus? Honk if you love Jesus? How about go to church 3 times a week if you love Jesus? Did you ever notice the further you get away from some cherished object, the more you need something to remind you of that cherished object? But it's true. If you have Jesus in your heart, you don't need to have Him around your neck. Amen. That'll keep the cards and letters coming, won't it? And folks, that's why so many of these denominational churches have statues and icons and paintings of Jesus hanging in stained glass windows depicting various scenes from the Gospels. And this is why they have all the pomp and all the ceremony. They need something to remind them of what they have walked away from. And that's the truth. You know it's the truth. But all these displays, they're not going to convince anyone. But let me tell you, when you have been with the Lord Jesus, it's going to show. And that's what's going to convince others. Folks certainly do not need to advertise that they have been with Jesus. It will be seen. The conduct of Peter and John was something that just made everybody marvel on that day. I mean, they just marveled. Look at it. It says in the middle phrase there, it says they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled. They marveled. They were bold, and they did not back down from the accusations. They showed themselves to be confident and sure about what they believed. And then they stood out to all of those religionists. Those religionists realized they had something that they did not have. I'm going to tell this on you, Lisa. No, this is good. Some of the people, some of the family members of the people that Lisa works for asked their parents after they spent a couple of days working side by side with Lisa, and they said to their parents, "What does she have? I've been looking for what she has, and I've never found it. But she's just got this peace. What is that?" Well, I'll tell you what it is. You hang around with Jesus, it's going to be seen. Now, you hang around with the devil, and that's going to be really seen. But if you hang around with the Lord, then people are going to notice. May God help us to see or to be what we ought to be so that others will see Christ in us. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you now for our time together tonight. It's always good to be able to open the Word of God and to take little life principles and apply them. And so, Father, I pray that you will bless what's been said tonight. I pray you'll give us the courage that we'll stand for the cause of Christ, no matter what. Not be intimidated by the world, but just stand. And Lord, help us to be as real, just as common, just as folksy, as Larry used to say. And Father, just to let our light shine. Father, help us to be able to show the world that we have a companion in the Lord Jesus. And it shows. And Father, I pray that you will take this message tonight and just seal it in our hearts. And as we go out this week, help us to let others see Jesus in us. Oh, bless, Father, I pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.